today on Life Talk.
With the coming of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, we have the fulfillment of what the Old Testament promised. God fulfilled his promise of a Redeemer, a Savior, and a King that would continue the throne of David forever.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire. Today, we're going to begin a brand new series on the last days. You know, you can hardly go online or read a religious article without hearing about the last days. With a world in great turmoil, rampant sin, constant wars, and increasing apostasy, people want to know, is the coming of Jesus near? Are we in the last days? Well, that's a topic we're going to be looking at in our next few times together. So grab your Bibles and let's jump right in to our first last days message entitled, Longer Than You Thought. We're starting right now on the last days. We're going to look at just the basic definition of last days and track it a little bit in the Bible. I'm going to be pulling the phrase last days, latter times, last hour, latter days, the various phrases that essentially mean the same thing. Everywhere it's found in the New Testament, and I'm going to look at the context and I'm going to teach what the author, what actually God is telling us in that particular passage. So we're going to look at 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, the book of Hebrews, all the places where last days is mentioned. Now, I want you to grab your Bibles, please do, because I want you to follow along with me and don't just listen to what I quote, but look it up for yourself and mark it, make some notes, because folks, we're living in the last days, I believe, and the more we understand, the better off we're going to be. And the less nervous we're going to be, the less fearful we're going to be, because ultimately God has everything under control. So here we go. First of all, when talking about the last days, we need to remember that the New Testament Bible writers considered themselves to already be in the last days. So the last days is not just talking about the end of time or the period of time right before Jesus' return, but it's really going all the way back to the first century. Let me give you a couple of examples. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Peter writes, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world." Isn't that amazing? Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. The Bible is a mind blower. But he goes on, "But has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." So Peter says when Jesus appeared, that kicked into motion the last times. Hebrews chapter 1, the first two verses. The writer says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds." And so the writer of Hebrews says, hey, we're in the last times. He is all the way back in the first century. So here's Peter and now the writer of Hebrews, who I believe was Paul, saying we're in the last times. So we see that the phrase last days does not necessarily point to that time just before Christ returned, but it reaches back to the first century and to the time of Christ. So we've been in the last times, folks, a long time. Let me read a few more passages on the last days, having begun in the time of the early church. John writes in 1 John 2, verse 18, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour." So there's that phrase again. And in Peter's amazing Pentecost sermon, he quotes the prophet Joel. And here it is, quote, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." And I notice he says, "And in the last days it shall be." So Peter was telling the Pentecost crowd, this is that. This is what Joel prophesied of. The last days have begun. The last days are here. Here we are. The last days have been ignited. So Peter, the writer of Hebrews, we're going to see Paul in a moment, all considered themselves to be in the beginning of the last days. Now, the last days are defined simply as the continuous period of time from the ministry of Jesus to the second coming. Now, let me read that again. The last days are defined as the continuous period of time from the ministry of Jesus all the way to the second coming. Mankind has been living in the last days for 20 centuries and some change. So that's a long time. And so, in understanding the Bible, it's helpful to think of the Old Testament as the age of promise, because the Old Testament is the first place we read about the last days. As we just quoted from Joel, Joel said in the last days, so on and so forth. So in understanding the Bible, it's helpful to think of the Old Testament this way. The Old Testament shows us the age of promise, and the New Testament is the age of fulfillment. The Old Testament is full of the promises of God. In the Old Testament, starting in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, God promised to send a Redeemer who would bruise the enemy's head. And so God promised his people also a Messiah who would establish and rule over his kingdom. That was the promise. If you want to know what the Old Testament's all about, in a nutshell, it is God's promise to send a Redeemer, and then the working out of that promise, starting in Genesis 12, verse 1, with the call of Abram. And when God called Abram, and then a little bit later, cut the Abrahamic covenant with him, and said, "Abraham, through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed." That was the promise of a Redeemer, that through the Redeemer that would come through Abraham's loins, there would be a blesser of the entire earth, that the entire earth would be blessed by this Redeemer. That includes you and me, all of us Gentiles. So think of it this way when you read your Old Testament. No matter where you are in it, it is about Jesus. Every Old Testament book, you can find Jesus in it. Doesn't matter. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you want to go to Job, go to the Psalms. Of course, go to the prophets, go anywhere in it. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, go all through it. Jesus is the primary overarching subject and focus of the Old Testament. But it's the promise of Jesus, the promise of a Redeemer. So our Old Testament is the age of promise. When Jesus came, and John the Baptist, you know, pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and the Lord Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And all that we know went down there in the New Testament account of the baptism of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried in a rich man's tomb. He rose from the dead on the third day. That's all the fulfillment of what was promised in the Old Testament. So again, with the coming of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, we have the fulfillment of what the Old Testament promised. God fulfilled his promise of a Redeemer, a Savior, and a King that would continue the throne of David forever, which had been one of the promises that God made to David And we call that the Davidic covenant. Now, stay with me. You remember that when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he made mention of David's throne and how Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Let me read it to you. Luke 1, verses 31 to 33. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him," catch this now, "the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now that matters because the promises of God are being fulfilled in these last days. And that's just one example. God had promised David in the Old Testament, "Your son," now he was talking about Jesus, "is going to continue your throne forever." Well, the only person that can continue a throne forever, a kingdom forever, is a divine being. So God was pointing to Jesus Christ continuing the throne of David so that it went on forever and ever and ever and ever. And that was one of God's covenant promises, and it was fulfilled in Jesus. So in the Old Testament, we have the promises of God. In the New Testament, we have the fulfillment of those promises, and they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, theologians call the time period we're in right now the already, okay? The already. It has already dawned. The fulfillment has begun. We are in the last days, but they also call it the not yet. So we are in the already, but not yet. The fullness of everything God promised has not yet been finalized or completed because we still have the second coming of Christ. We still have the millennial kingdom. There are many things promised in the Old Testament that are not yet fulfilled, but there are also myriad promises that have been fulfilled. So isn't it exciting to know in the Old Testament, you were in the era or the age of the promises of God. In the New Testament, we're in the fulfillment of the promises. And that's exciting.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, here's the question that you're wondering and I'm wondering. Are we in the last of the last days? We understand that we're in the last days, but are we in the last of the last days? Now, I want to try to deal with that just on a surface level, and we're going to get into it way more next time. But let's just go slow because I want us to be sure to get this and really let it soak down into our spirits and come to an understanding because this is very, very important. You know, we want to be ready for the coming of Jesus. We want to understand the teaching of the Bible. We want to understand how it's put together. We want to understand how to read it, how to interpret it. So are we in the last of the last days? Are we looking at the soon coming of Jesus? Because they sure weren't in the first century. No, they had 20 centuries from then. We're still waiting for his return. So they believed it, and they died believing that his coming was imminent, but it hasn't happened yet. So are we in the last of the last days? Well, let me answer that. Many of the general signs Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13. Are happening all around us with increasing frequency. You remember, Jesus was in the great temple for the last time. He and the disciples walked out. He had a short time left on this planet before they crucified him. And so they're leaving the temple for the last time. The disciples are marveling. at the beauty of the temple. It was a glorious structure. It was one of the wonders of the world. And they were saying, look, Lord, at this. Is this not a stupendous building? Isn't this amazing? And Jesus made his incredible, breathtaking statement of, I tell you truly, the day is coming when not one stone will be left upon another, but all will be torn down. Well, this blew them away. And they said, Jesus, when will these things be? And while we're at it, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Well, in Matthew 24, Jesus is answering those three questions. In Luke 21, he's answering them. And in Mark 13, he's answering them. And they were general signs at first. The Lord predicted widespread spiritual deception from false Christs, false prophets, and false teachers. And I might add here that when he talked about famines and earthquakes and all the various general signs that would precede his return, he only mentioned them one time, but he mentioned deception four times. He warned about spiritual deception four times in Matthew 24, four times. So when you take it in the balances and look at what was most on Jesus' heart, the very first thing he said to them, when they said, what will be the sign of your coming? The very first thing he said, beware lest any man deceive you. And then he went on three more times in the same chapter, talking about false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, deception. And so we need to take note that foremost on our Lord's mind regarding the last days was the danger of deception. He said it's going to be so prevalent. And I'm talking about deception in the church, not just worldly philosophical deception like New Age religions or some false philosophy, Buddhism or whatever, that isn't going to save anybody, but heavy deception infiltrating the church, where the wheat is growing up next to the tares. The tares are growing up right next to the wheat, and they look exactly the same until they are full grown. All the time in Jesus' teachings, he warned of deception. So I just want to point that out before we move on. He said there would be chronic wars and rumors of war. He said nation is going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And he also predicted global famines, plagues, global plagues called pestilences, and earthquakes in many different places. He further predicted fierce persecution, betrayals on behalf of loved ones. Those in your own household would betray you to save their own skin in the last days. And this one, lawlessness. Man, are we seeing lawlessness now or what? Lawlessness is when people do not accept there's law. It's a Greek word that literally means no law. I don't honor the laws of God. I don't honor the laws of man. I am lawless. And that really is the core of the satanic nature. Satan is lawless. And the Antichrist is called the lawless one. But Jesus predicted in the last days, because the love of many grows cold, there's going to be runaway lawlessness. Look at the riots in our streets. Look at the burning of buildings. Look at the way people are talking to policemen. Look at the way they are cursing them and blaspheming God and blaspheming the name of Christ. And no fear of law, no fear of authority, no fear of consequences. Jesus talked about that day. He warned about it when they said, what will be the sign of your coming, Lord, and of the end of the age? But now, I believe the key sign that we are in the last days, the last of the last days, is the 1948 rebirth of Israel as a nation. Now, perk up and listen to this, because this was one of the most amazing fulfillments of Bible prophecy in modern times, if not the most amazing. The rebirth of Israel as an independent nation in 1948 is one of the most significant events in world history. Never before, folks, has an entire race of people been without a homeland for so long without permanently assimilating into surrounding populations. Let's remember, in 70 AD, per the prediction of Jesus, the Roman soldiers, the Roman army, surrounded Jerusalem. They laid siege to it. They starved the Jewish people on the inside. They kept pushing and pushing and pushing until finally
They penetrated the walls, stormed the city. As Jesus said, they tore the temple down. There wasn't one stone left upon another. Over 1 million Jews were slaughtered. It was a horrible, horrible time in Jewish history, but it was all because they had rejected Messiah and brought upon themselves the judgment of God. Now, when that happened, the surviving Jews were scattered, it's called the diaspora, to the four corners of the world. They lost their homeland, they lost everything, and they were scattered everywhere. And they were scattered, get this now, for 20 centuries, 2,000 years, the Jewish people inhabited other lands. But here's the miracle. They weren't assimilated. They didn't call it their home. They were in a city or in towns or in a nation, but they never saw the nation as their home. As a matter of fact, everywhere they went, they were persecuted. They were maligned. They were mocked. They experienced nothing but trouble. And so the miracle of the Jewish people is, A, they survived, but B, they weren't assimilated into the surrounding nations. They didn't just say, well, we're home and that's it, and we feel great here and we love it here. That didn't happen. They were not assimilated. In just 100 years, now as time went on, I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but as time went on, the Jews around the world began to have an inexplicable desire to return to the land of Israel. People would say to them, why are you going back to Israel? And they would say, I don't know. I don't know. I just, something in me is calling me back. I want to go back to my ancient homeland. Different nations, you know, they had Jewish scientists. They had Jewish, you know, the Jews have always been very brilliant people. Germany, for example, before Hitler, they were losing Jewish people, and they called it the brain drain. They were losing so many Jews, brilliant Jews, doctors, scientists, entrepreneurs, I mean, you name it. And when they began to return to Israel, in just 100 years, the Jewish population of Israel rose an amazing 7,700%. 7,700%. Now, why this mass immigration to Israel? Well, it's a fulfillment of prophecies which said that God would take his people from all the nations and bring them back into their own land. This was the miracle. Why are you going back to Israel? I don't know. It's in my heart. I don't know. I just have a desire. Well, it was a God-sent desire, and it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel predicted. Quote, this is God speaking through Ezekiel. Behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, the diaspora, the scattering, and I will bring them back into their own land. That's what God said. That's Ezekiel 37, verse 21. Is that not amazing? In the 20th and 21st centuries, Jews have come to Israel from all over the world. From wherever they've been scattered among the nations, they began to return. A little bit of history. The first wave of immigration started in 1882, and it particularly involved Jews from Russia and Romania. They began to lose these brilliant people. They began to return to Israel. Then in 1915, there were just 83,000 Jews in Palestine. That's not very many at all. That's nothing. But this increased to over 6.2 million Jews in 2015. Think about that. In just a few short years, they went from 83,000 Jews in Palestine to 6.2 million, resulting in an amazing 7,400% increase. In comparison, over the same period, the UK, the population of the UK, increased 55%. Compare the increase of 55% population growth to 7,400%. And you have an idea of how quickly the Jews were returning to their homeland. Why this return? Because it's an end time sign to the nations that God is about to intervene in world affairs. Listen, the crown jewel of Bible prophecy is Israel.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.